Well, little Johnny decided that he wanted to be a farmer. So little Johnny thought to himself, what could I farm? Everybody loves chicken. I'll be a chicken farmer. So little Johnny went to another chicken farmer and he bought 1,000 chicks and he started the farm. Next month, little Johnny went back to the same chicken farmer and he bought another 1,000 chicks and he continued farming. The following month, little Johnny once again turned up at the chicken farmer's door, looking for another 1,000 chicks. And the farmer was pretty taken aback. He wondered, what's going on with Johnny? His farm must be growing like mad. So he said to little Johnny, Johnny, you must be the world's best chicken farmer. Your farm must be growing by the month. You keep coming back to buy more chicks. What's your secret? Little Johnny, however, looked very, very sad. And he said to the chicken farmer, I'm afraid it's not going that well at all. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. Either I'm planting them too deep or upside down or too close together. What you plant matters. What you plant matters. Planting chickens is not going to give you the desired result if you're a chicken farmer, unless your desired result is cruelty to animals. What you plant matters. In the farming and gardening world, you've got to pick the right seeds. You've got to put them in the right growing conditions. You've got to nurture that seed as it grows. And then finally, you get that long-awaited harvest. That's how farming and growing works. And it's one of God's favorite illustrations that he uses to teach us about himself and what he wants to do in our lives. And that's what he does right here at the end of the book of Galatians. If you want to open your Bibles and have a look at it, it'll be good as we look through these verses together. I want to especially focus on those few verses that we read in chapter 6. So that's chapter 6 starting at verse 7. I want to point it out to you because it's going to make this exact point that I've just made to you. What you plant matters. What you plant matters. Look at verse 7 with me of Galatians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. See, this verse starts off with a warning. It tells us not to be deceived. Not to be misled or confused. That's the meaning behind that word. And then it tells us what we shouldn't be misled or confused about. And the first thing is this. God is not mocked. The idea behind that word, it's a lovely word in Greek. It means to turn up your nose. It means to turn up your nose at something. Turning up your nose at God. It says, don't be deceived. Don't turn your nose up at God. You know, when I hear that phrase, you know, don't turn your nose up, I think about a very posh English lady from the 1600s or something saying, oh, so uncouth. You know, turning up your nose at something. That's this idea in this word. So we're not to be deceived. We're not to be confused or misled. We're not to turn our nose up at God. We're not to treat what he says with contempt. As if what he says is stupid. As if we're smart and he's dumb. The Bible says don't be misled or confused. Don't turn your nose up at God. Don't treat him with contempt because this is what he says. A man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. A person gets back what they put in. If your life is like soil, whatever seeds you plant in it are going to produce more of the same. A man reaps what he sows. What God says here is don't be stupid. Don't pull the wool over your eyes. Don't treat what I say with contempt. In your life, You are planting something. And whatever you are planting is going to produce a harvest. It's either going to be a harvest that's good or a harvest that's bad. What you plant matters. And then in verse 8, he's going to get more specific. So if you want to look with me, we're going to think of how specific he gets. He tells us this. I'm going to sum it up for you first, then we'll look at it together. There are only two types of seed that you're planting in your life. And it's only going to produce two types of result. So what are those two things? Read with me with verse 8, the start of verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. I'm going to sum it up like this on the screen. Seeds of self produce destruction. Seeds of self produce destruction. Do you know there's one type of seed, the Lord says, that you and I can sow in our lives and it comes really, really easily. In fact, it comes naturally to us. We sow seeds to please ourselves. Right at the start of Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about the idea that there's two things at war with each other, the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is who we are in ourselves. In ourselves, we want to please ourselves. The easiest things that you plant in your life and I plant in mine are the things that we like. And the bad news is so many of those things are darker and more twisted than we realize. Because in our natural condition, in ourselves, we're opposed to God and we look to please ourselves and not him. When Galatians uses the word flesh here in Galatians chapter 6, it's referencing back what we read earlier in Galatians chapter 5. So if you look down, we're going to think about Galatians 5 for a little moment. Galatians says the works of the flesh are obvious. You'll see it down there in verse 19. The works of the flesh are evident. When he's talking about works, it's as if he looks at the flower of those seeds that we can plant. And he says, what do they look like when they're fully grown? What does that harvest look like when we've let those seeds grow and germinate and turn into something? Well, Galatians 5 tells us what they look like. And they're evident. They're easy to spot. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, and the like. And many of us read those things and go, aren't they awful? Aren't those awful things? I am so glad that I have none of those awful things in my life. But what Christ tells us back over in Galatians 6 is the seed of every one of those things are the seeds that we want to sow in our lives. We want to sow them, and we do. They're there in seed form. The full plant hasn't formed, but the seeds are there. And they grow if we're not watching. What we thought one day was maybe trying to do well in our job grows slowly without us noticing into selfish ambition to make it to the top. Soon, the whole plant has grown and it's making it to the top that matters. You know, what we thought was generosity and giving to other people grows slowly without us noticing into a desire to look good in front of other people. Sooner or later, it turns into this massive plant that's really looking to please other people and look good in front of other people. You know, what we thought was one drink among friends slowly grows without us noticing into a lifestyle that looks for pleasure and to escape responsibility. What we thought was posting nice pictures on social media grows without us noticing into a fuel for envy and dissatisfaction with our lives. We're to check the motivations of our heart. What we plant in our lives, because so much of it comes from inclinations to please ourselves, sinful desires that wage war against our soul that we don't even see. those seeds are growing all around us. They're growing amongst people out there who we're friends with, who we work with, who don't know Christ. When we see those seeds growing in our lives, we're to rip them out because they don't belong to a heart that's been changed by Christ. Because I want to turn back with you to Galatians 6 to see what is the harvest if we let these seeds grow. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from that flesh reap corruption. The word again behind there is ruination, destruction. It comes to nothing. Comes to nothing. Why? Because it isn't of Christ. If we let those seeds grow in our lives, Galatians 5:21 says, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The opposite side of not inheriting the kingdom of God is destruction. People who sow seeds of self can make it for a short time. They live like that, they may even get what they want. There are people out there who enjoy their anger. There are people there who love to practice idolatry. There are people out there who love to chase after pleasure. There are people out there who love to compare themselves to others. There are people out there who love to be part of a faction or a club. There are people out there who love to drink and do all kinds of things. And they become consumed by these things. Because the seed of all those things starts in here. People who live that way will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because Christ's kingdom is to be a kingdom without the stain of sin. It's a weed-free zone where it'll come to destroy every sin. And if your life and my life is nothing but weeds from selfish seeds, then once Christ is done with putting the weed killer down, there'll be nothing left of us. So it leaves us with a question, a really pertinent question. What other seed can you sow? If there's one seed and it comes from inside me, where am I going to get other seed to sow? The second half of verse 8 gives us the answer. Whoever sows to please the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Seeds of the Spirit produce eternal life. If you want to have life, if you want to have a harvest in your life, God tells us you've got to stop planting things from inside here that come from inside yourself. The world's lie is that you can find life and satisfaction if you just look inside yourself, if you just do what feels right, if you just do what you want to. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you've got to find life outside of yourself. Because hope isn't found in yourself. It's found outside of yourself. It's found in Jesus. I want you to notice the difference in the text. The first seeds are those that we sow to please for one who sows in his own flesh. It's from inside. The second type of seed are those who are to please the Spirit, something outside of myself. What does it mean to sow seeds of the Spirit, to please the Spirit outside of myself? Firstly, the implication is if you want to sow seeds in your life that'll last and produce a harvest, you've got to know the Spirit. You've got to know the Spirit. In order to please the Spirit, you've got to know the Spirit. The Spirit has to be at work in your life. Well, how does that happen? The Spirit is the one who makes us alive to believe in Jesus. If you know Jesus, you know the Spirit. His work is going on inside your life. Jesus says His Spirit is the one who's going to guide us into all truth. He is the one who convinces us and convicts us of our sin. That in ourselves we're sinners. We need a Savior. And He brings us to that Savior, Jesus. He points out things in God's Word that shape our lives. That same Spirit comes to dwell in our hearts. Everyone born of Christ is born of the Spirit. So if you're a Christian, if you trust in Christ as your Savior, His Spirit is alive in you and it's leading you to Him and His Word. If you don't come to Christ, you have no hope for planting any seed that leads to eternal life. Because all seed is graciously given to us by the Spirit from outside of ourselves. We need to know Him. If you know Him, you can start growing a crop right now, given by God, and it'll bring you eternal life. And here's the next thing. The work of the Spirit doesn't just bring a Christian to Christ as Savior. He works in a Christian to make a Christian like Christ. How do you sow seeds that please the Spirit? God tells us His Spirit works in and through His Word. That sword of the Spirit that's talked about in Ephesians is the Word of God. 1 Timothy, the Bible, is God-breathed, expired by God. 1 Peter, when the apostles spoke, they were moved along by the Spirit of God. If you want to sow seeds in your life to please the Spirit, you've got to let God's own Word, His Spirit-filled Word, direct your life, direct your thoughts, and direct your attitude. And that starts with a simple premise. God knows me better than I know myself. God knows me better than I know myself. I've got to sit under His Word. I've got to follow His Word. I've got to let that Spirit give me seeds in my life to plant. And that Spirit working by God's Word is going to open my eyes to see those things and those places in my life where I can plant those seeds. And God's Spirit and His Word is going to help me grow those seeds. Because He's going to gift me eternal life because He's with me. Galatians 5, we get that picture of the full plant again, but this time it's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. To please the Spirit, I've got to get seed from outside of myself. Getting seed from what Christ tells me. Finally, when we plant with that seed of the Spirit, when we look to please the Spirit, Christ's Spirit outside of ourselves, who is it that gives us that harvest? You'll see in verse 8, it is from the Spirit that we will reap eternal life. Notice again the difference. If you sow to yourself, from yourself, you'll reap destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. What you plant matters. You can either live this life planting seed of yourself, thinking that you know the way, you know what's best, you know what to do. Or you can say, I don't really know what to do, but I know that God knows what to do. I know that God said it was enough to send His Son into the world to save me. I know that it was enough for God to speak in His Word to tell me what I should do with my life. If you want a harvest that will produce eternal life, you've got to find it outside of yourself. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I pray that you find that life in Him. And sow seeds of His Spirit, and from that Spirit reap eternal life. Let me pray. Father, we want to thank You for Your goodness, that what is planted in our lives really does matter. And Lord, we thank You for Your warning and for Your hope that You've given to us. Lord, You haven't just left us alone. You haven't just told us what we shouldn't do, but Lord, You've told us what we should do. You've told us about Christ and about the hope and life that there is in Him. Lord, and we pray that You might help us by that same Spirit to turn to Him, to turn to His Word, that same Spirit might work in our lives as we plant seeds that from you we will reap everlasting life. Lord, so often we realize that we plant seeds of our own flesh. Lord, seeds that grow into monstrosities, Lord, that we find hard to deal with. Lord, but we know that by your Spirit, you can uproot those seeds. Lord, you can uproot those things that we have planted that get in the way of our life in you. Because, Lord, we know that you're at work within us. Lord, we know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And, Lord, I pray today that for those who know you, you might give them that hope and that reassurance. And for those who don't, Lord, that you might even today turn their hearts and their mind toward life in Jesus Christ, towards eternal life found in him and gifted by his Spirit. Lord, we pray and we ask that you would be with us, thanking you for all that you give to us and all that we have. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.